Hi there, welcome back to the Developer's Guide to Windows 10.
Hey,
Nicola's gone, Shen has reappeared.
I'm back, hey, I'm Shen.
Yeah. So, well, we've got a few sessions now to see us through to the end of the day. Next couple are going to be shortish ones where we're going to talk about apps talking to other apps in various ways. First of all, app-to-app communication, but not app services, and then we're going to talk about app services.
Yeah.
And then after that, we've got porting apps, and then the story about the store.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, so let's go quickly through app-to-app communication. So what we're going to cover here, looking at app-to-app in Windows 10, UWP, looking at different ways that you can have one app can launch or communicate with other apps. So you can get this suite of apps things going, or you can create apps that provide services to other apps. We'll look at some of the ways we've had in the past and how they've moved forward, like the share contract and that. And how we've expanded some of the services we kind of had in the past, but made them much more useful. Mostly about things like launch for results, so you can actually launch another app and wait for the results to come back. And a bit about shared storage folder, which is kind of an interesting side note to this topic. All right, so first of all, let's have a look at this, the whole app-to-app story that we've got here. So this one we've had since 8.1, launch URI async and launch file async. So the idea here is that sample app colon there is a URI scheme, and it's a custom one that we've dreamt up.
Yeah.
And so an app somewhere in your system can register to say, okay, I know how to handle sample app. So when you call your app calls launch URI async, you don't know actually in 8.1 mode, you didn't know for sure who was going to be launched, because the user could have installed two or three apps that handle sample app, and you couldn't privately reserve a URI.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, that was nice because we kept the user in control. If the user wanted to install four different apps that all kind of handled
the particular,
that's right. And then on the phone, anyway, they'd end up with a disambiguation dialog, so they could choose which one actually got launched. On big Windows, down in settings, you actually set your app preferences, so
that's
it would just always launch
the default app.
Similarly, launch file async. That's you have you say to the system, okay, I'm going to launch this file of a certain file extension type, and the same kind of thing happens. The system sees if the user's got anything installed that has registered for that file type, and then if there's only one installed, it just launches it and passes it the app.
Yep.
If there's more than one, it will again put up a disambiguation dialog. Or if there's none installed on the system, it would invite you to go to the store and find an app that knows how to handle it. So it's the user and the OS is in there choosing the target, and then the data or the file, the data in the URI or the actual file is then passed to the other app, and the other app gets launched. Another way of sharing that we also had in 8.1 is this thing called the share contract. Now, Nicola actually showed in the previous session our nice, really nice drag and drop support.
Yes.
Where when you drop a file onto a drop target in drag and drop, you actually get this data transfer object, which encapsulates all of the actual content that's being shared, of like what the file types are and this sort of thing. This is the same thing here. So when you call your app, you have something, you put some kind of share this kind of icon on your screen or something. And in 8.1, of course, there was the charms bar. But in 10, you actually have to put the UI, you have to build that in yourself.
So you have to do it yourself now. It's not going to be automatically created.
We don't have
created
the charms bar anymore.
Exactly.
So essentially, the user taps a button or something to say, yeah, I've got something to share. And at that point, well, the OS, the shell takes over and says, and gives you like a list of apps that you could share with. So if you're sharing text, it will give you a list of apps that know how to, that have declared to, that they know how to be a share target for text. If it's an image, you see another, you get this filtered list of appropriate apps that are installed on the system that know how to handle that content. And then the user chooses which it is, and the content gets passed across to them, and they do whatever it is they do.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was those we already had. But now in UWP, we've got a number of enhancements. So answering a lot of the kind of, the feature requests we had around this area. So, like I said before, when you're launching using launch URI particularly, you can't choose as the sender exactly what app gets launched.
Correct.
It was offered, put up to the user. Well, now you can. You can actually say, I want to launch this particular app. And you do that by using the package family name. So when you reserve an app name for your app in the store, you get
You'll
this unique PFN And you basically specify that on the launch request. There's a new way of sharing files where you actually send a token to a file rather than the actual file being sort of copied across. So that's kind of an efficiency with send files. There's launch for results. So the other problem with launch URI before was it was one way only.
Yes.
So if you wanted to launch another app and let it do something, like maybe it's a storefront kind of thing, when it was finished,
the user would have to go back.
Yeah, so either, you know, there was no actual programmatic way of saying, okay, I'm done, go back to the caller. Yeah. Well, there is now, it's called launch for results. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom one, which we're just touching on here because it's in this kind of bucket, is app services. But it's app services demands its own attention because it's more powerful. And so we're going to talk about that in the next session. So here we are. This is how you... So below the arrow there is essentially what we had in 8.1. And now we've got this launcher options where you can put the, you can specify the target application package family name. So this is the unique name that you get when you actually register your app with the store.
Yep.
And you just specify that now as a new launch URI async has now got an override. So you can specify that launcher options. And now that will only go to that specific app. So the user choice bit comes, doesn't come into the picture. Okay. So, sending files. Now, we've got this new thing called the shared storage access manager.addfile, and you give it a file name. That gives you back a token. And again, you can plug that into your, you can actually put that into the payload that you're sending across. You can combine that with your target application package family name again. So you can actually launch that out again to a specific app. But then the value set is a new type that came out in 8, I think, which is just a lightweight packaging key value dictionary sort of thing. And you can, so you just need to get that token over to the recipient in some way, and then they can kind of redeem that token and get at the file.
Okay.
So that's a nice way of doing that. Another API that's useful as well is you can actually, before even doing the launch URI async, you can actually ask the system, is there a target installed for this? So you can look for, at a general level, you can just say, are there any, if you're not launching specific, you can say, are there any apps, so this is the top little bit of code here, are there any apps installed on the system that know how to support Instapaper?
So you're actually doing the check first before you just go in randomly.
So then you could, then it allows you to put something up on the screen, your own UI on the screen saying, you need to go and install this. And you could even direct them to the specific store page or something, you know, you can do that sort of thing. And then this one is, you combine that with the package family name as well, then it becomes more specific. So not only is it launch URI, but it's actually specifically that one.
So you're saying, I want this package in particular.
Yeah, so that's the one. And then app services, which I say we're going to talk about next, it's kind of an extension of background tasks where client apps can call the background task of another app. So this is kind of web services for devices, really. So it's pretty cool, yeah. And you can think of lots of interesting ways that might come in useful. Well, we're going to cover that in more detail in a little while. Now, talking about URI activation, launch URI async, there actually is a whole series of URIs that actually get you open directly from your app into some of the settings, the relevant settings. Okay. This is not the complete set. If you go and look at the docs, you'll find out more. You can see you can get a storage sense, battery saver, maps, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, airplane mode, cellular data usage, and all this kind of stuff.
There's a whole load of
goodies. Whole bunch of good stuff where you can allow your user to go straight into the settings. A typical thing is maybe you've got an app that's trying to use Bluetooth, and Bluetooth, you get an exception that says Bluetooth is off. You can then take your user directly to the relevant page and allow them to turn Bluetooth on and that sort of thing. So,
nice. Then I'm assuming it keeps the back stack as well, so when I hit back, it'll go back to my app.
Yes, exactly so. All right, let's have a look at a demo of URI activation, some of the new stuff we've got in this. So here we are. We've got three apps in this. So let's have a look at the launch button click. There we are. We are actually launching a URI on the emulator called W10 Tech Preview. So it goes back a little bit, this demo. And the app launches on the phone. Here we are, and now we're trying to launch that URI. We haven't got any apps installed on this device, so this is the dialogue you get to go to the store. So you can go off to the store and it will try and, you know, return to you matches.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Not at this point, it seems. So, but now I'm going to go, before we try and run this again, I'm now going to install an app that is registered for that. And this is how it's registered. Down in the manifest, you can see we've actually got a protocol extension declared in there for that particular protocol. And you can do this now through the manifest editor. You don't have to do it directly editing this in the XML. But we can now deploy that to our target. And so we're doing that. So now an app is installed on the phone that knows how to handle that URI.
Okay.
And when we run it again, once it's deployed, you don't need to run it, it just needs to be deployed.
Okay.
And that makes it available for you. So we could now run our client, but we've actually going to install, we've got yet another one that is registered for the same protocol.
All right.
But it's a second app. It's called the second protocol handler. We can deploy that as well. So now I've got two apps to choose from on the system that can know how to handle it. There are one called I Can Handle That and the other one called Yes, but I Can Do It Better. So now we run our client. Now we launch URI, and this is where you get the disambiguation dialogue.
Say, hey,
which one do you want? And yeah, like I said, on big Windows, this doesn't happen because you do it in the settings. And there we are. That's the massively impressive UI of that second one.
Nice.
There we go. All right, but maybe we want to actually in the client, we want to specifically go off and get that one. So. Now, if you want to know what the package file name, you don't actually have to register your app with the store. So you can do this in debug. The way you want to do it, if you just launch the secondary app, we've actually got, it doesn't have any UI other than that, but down in the debug window, we actually write its temporary PFN to the output window. So we can copy that. So now we know what the package family name is of that specific app. And now we can actually change the request in the client to say, I actually want to restore, I want to actually launch that specific PFN. So this is where we create a launcher options, and inside the launcher, just resolve that. And inside that we can say options.pfn, package family name, preferred application package family name, target application package family name is equal to a few other options there, as you can see. And there we are, we put that. Now, when you register with the store, you actually get a much more readable name. But it's not like end users ever see this anyway. This is your unique identifier, which is why that's in GUID at the moment. And now you just tag that options onto that launch URI async and do it again. And this time, when we launch it, it will go straight to the other one.
Yeah.
And you notice there also, the end user, there's no actual, you don't actually get the feeling you're going to a different app.
No, it's quite consistent.
It's very seamless transition. So it allows you to have this kind of flowing experience across different apps and give your user a good total experience at the end of it.
And the nice thing there is you can actually use PowerShell as well, right, to get the PFNs and stuff like that of installed packages.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's always a nice way to do it as well if you've seen a package and you're like, I don't know who owns this app and I don't know the PFN.
Right.
This PowerShell command lets not let you do that.
PowerShell can do anything.
PowerShell can do anything.
Yeah. Okay, now, what about this new one, Launch for Results? This is where we are doing, the old one was Launch URI Async.
Yes.
This new API is called Launch URI for Results Async. And you must obviously specify a target package, application package family name for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much a cooperation between two apps, two-way communication going on here. And what happens is that the bit at the top of the blue arrows there is the kind of client side.
Yes.
And then in app two down here, the bits below the blue arrows is what app two would do to send a result back. So they use these value sets is very commonly used. And you simply say, I don't know what that A is.
It's mini typo.
Yeah, there's a typo on there. The A is insignificant. Ignore that. you say operation.protocol for results, operation.report completed. And at that point, app two closes and control returns back to app one. So that's nice and simple. Let's give a little demo of that one. So I've got a kind of a store app scenario, a shop, electronic shop here, is the scenario here. So we've got a checkout module that allows you to take payments it's a payment processing kind of app. And we've got a client app that's going to use its services. So here's our shop app. And you can choose some products. I'm going to have a sprocket and a contraption. And now we're going to check out. And this is where we've got a breakpoint here. This is where you've got the URI's checkout demo. Again, launcher options, target application package family name. We put some data into our value set, which is the details of the products that are being purchased. And we are going to send that over to the other side. So we sent a couple of items in there. And this is where we call launch URI for results async. So we let that run, and you'll see now the second app has launched, and it's become, you know, the window is showing up there instead of in front of that. And now we are looking for, we got the response, and then we're navigating back to the receipt. So we're done. Here's the receipt. It's now back in the client. So we didn't see, you know, the payment was failed. Now let's have a look at that in a bit more detail. So here we're going to go off and have a look at in the checkout app here. This is the receiving end.
Yeah.
We look at the properties. If you want to debug this, hit this do not launch but debug my code when it starts. It's the same way you can debug a background service and sort of thing.
Yeah,
and now you start it in the debugger, and the debugger starts up, but obviously your app doesn't launch as the checkbox suggests.
Yeah.
But it will now wait for it to be activated by something. So now we'll just run the client app. We'll just run it without debugging. Find our shop app. There we go. And again, we're going to buy ourselves a gizmo and a widget this time. And now we're going to hit checkout. And now we're launching into the other app. And now here we are. We're on activated. So we've hit a breakpoint, and we're now debugging the second app. So that's where we are. You can see that we're in on launched. We were actually launched. It's the checkout app we're now in. And you know, obviously, you can go ahead and just debug it away. And here's the this is where you get the args, the data that comes in that was passed from the client.
Previous app, yep.
So we pass that on to our checkout page, and so there's that protocol for results activated event args, snappy name. You can validate the callers. You could do some sort of simple whitelisting. Here we go. We've got the valid callers hard coded in here. So just check that only certain clients are allowed.
Yep.
So it's just an example of how you might do that. And then we are kind of decoding the data we've been sent. Ignore that this is a bit hacky, but yeah. So, and then we deserialize it, and then we're using that to populate information on the screen. And then we offer to the user cancel or make payment options. So we're seeing there you can choose to pay with a card and then make the payment. And at this point, make payment clicked, event handler. We are building the value set that the shop app is going to send back to the client. And there we go, and we are sending back, yes, we're done, and then we report completed. We send that back to the originator, and the originator then pops up and says, we've got this successful detail of the receipt, so this one was successful. So you've got that two-way communication
going
on.
Yeah, that's really
nice. Yeah. So this is for foreground apps, you know, they've both got UI, and it's a way of just passing control from one foreground app to another one. Now, just finally on this little mini session. Just a little mention of the publisher's shared storage folder, because this is another way for apps to cooperate. Not quite in the same way though, so I just needed to put this somewhere and this seemed like a good place. So, so this is the way where apps from the same publisher can have, there's a storage area that they can use as a bit like a file share, like a share on a Windows 10
so
device.
So I suppose it's similar to like if you have a suite of software and the user might download multiple pieces of apps from the same publisher. This allows them to sort of almost communicate with each other using a shared sandbox.
Exactly, it's a shared folder, yeah. And the way that you use it is really, really simple. So first of all, you just put this extension into your manifest. This is all you need to say. It's category windows.publisher cache folder.
Mm-hmm.
And inside that, you have a publisher cache folder element. And inside that, you must have one or more folder names, because you can't write to the root of this thing area. So you've got to actually specify a folder name. So here we're saying, okay, my publisher cache folder, the folder name is called folder one. And you don't actually have to physically write any code to create that. The first time you reference it, it will automatically get provisioned.
And I'm under the assumption here that actually this folder's tucked away somewhere. It's not going to be set right in someone's documents folder.
It's going to be in the app data somewhere. Exactly, it's in the sandbox somewhere. But in a way that is shared between these different apps from the same, only from the same publisher.
Yes.
And then you can access, you can write to files in there and treat it just the same as any other storage folder. Yeah. Just the same API.
Pretty easy to get hold of.
Really easy. Get publisher cache folder, and then you put the name, fonts in this case.
Fonts was our folder, yeah.
You can clear it. The other way it gets cleared is if when the last app from the publisher is uninstalled, so when there's no further apps from that publisher installed on a machine,
it just clears itself,
gets cleared out, yeah.
That's so I suppose you've got to be very careful here that one of your apps doesn't end up doing something to a folder that another app might need.
Yeah,
so things like clearing,
So actually, yeah, that clearing thing, well, yeah, maybe you want to do that. It might
be cautious, yeah.
That's right. So that's it. There's nothing more to say about that. It's nice and simple. So there we go. In quick review. That was a short session, just talking a little bit about how we've enhanced Launch URI Async. So you can now launch specific apps. We've got APIs to find out if an app is already installed to handle a particular protocol. We've got the nice launch for results, that nice two-way thing going. And we are going to talk about app services in the next session, which is exciting. And then we just briefly mentioned the publisher's shared storage folder there. Great. So we're going to take a minuscule little break.
Yes.
And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to talk about a complementary topic, which is app services. All right. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.